If you would, let's turn. Yeah, it's on. If you would, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And I'm going to read verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, verse 31. I got to get in chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. Jesus Christ here is speaking to us. He's speaking about everyone, every single individual ever born. But He is specifically speaking to His people. Those who are not His will not hear Him. This is talking about that time when Christ will return and the whole world will know that He is King. Here we have words where the King of all talks about brethren. And just to hear those words kind of makes me feel safe.
Yes, sir.
There are some who our Lord calls brethren.
Yes.
But as we can see, not all those spoken of here and spoken to by our Lord here are brethren. We see that some on the right hand, some are on the right hand and some are on the left. This division is made by the King. Jesus Christ makes this division.
Yes, sir.
He calls them sheep and goats. So if He does this, there's no need for me to do this. The Lord knoweth them that are His. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yes.
The Lord knows them that are His. This is a foundation of God, and we know this foundation is from the foundation of the world. Because in verse 34 we read, Matthew 25:34, Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
But it is he that has set them. Notice again that it says that he shall set them. That is, he will set his sheep on his right hand, and he will set the goats on his left hand. I just want to point out something, and I'm not going to go into this into detail, but notice it says he shall come. What does it say he will do when he comes? It says, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. But isn't he on his throne now? Yes, he's the king. He's always been on the throne.
Yes, sir.
He reigns as sovereign over all things as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. So he is not reigning now. Most assuredly, he does reign now, but this is talking about a time when all will know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
It says here, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. He will sit on the throne of his glory. And that's just what it says.
Yes,
there's a lot more to that glory, but it starts with, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. So I want to talk about what it says here in this passage concerning left and right hand, sheep and goats. So what do we have in Scripture that give us some insight into the right and left hands? Genesis 48, verses 13 and 14, we read, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. So you have Joseph is on this side, and Israel's on that side. So it's saying, you know, he had one child on this hand, one child on this hand. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. Ephraim was standing on the other side. It wasn't where his right hand was. Who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Israel did this on purpose, and he put his right hand on the other child, the younger child. The right hand in Scripture, as we see here in Genesis 48, is that which shows blessing to the firstborn, usually. Here we see Israel blessing Ephraim, who was not the firstborn. Manasseh was the firstborn. And you can see from the reaction of Joseph that it was a big deal that Israel placed his right hand on Ephraim instead of Manasseh. But I just read this to show that the right hand in Scripture shows it is a place of blessing. We see this in our text. Ye blessed of my Father. And those are on the right hand. But we also read in Scripture that the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, has wrought out the victory for the Lord and blessed his people. Psalm 98:1 we read, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Now this first point of mine, left and right hand, there's not much spoken really of the left hand. But the right hand seems in Scripture to signify strength and blessing, authority and might. So we can say that those who are placed on his right hand are favored. Those on his left hand are not favored. Now in the Scripture it's not always a bad thing when it talks about the left. I just want to be clear about that. But in our text it is definitely a bad thing to be on the left.
Yes, sir.
Who is it as shown in our text that are favored or blessed? And who is it that is condemned as spoken of here in our passage? Sheep and goats. So sheep and goats. I looked up, I don't know sheep and goats. I don't know, you know, I've never had any. I've been around some goats, but not sheep. But I looked up the behavior of sheep and goats, and this is what I found for sheep. It says, sheep are a prey species, and their only defense is to flee. Sheep display an intensely gregarious social instinct that allows them to bond closely to other sheep and preferentially to related flock members. Flock mentality movements protect individuals from predators. And then I looked up goats. I couldn't find much on it, but I did find this. Naturally curious and independent. I know those definitions don't come from Scripture, but this is the behavior of the two in Scripture. The sheep are part of a family. The goats are on their own. Our Lord knew what he was doing when using these comparisons of his people and those who are not his people. There is, as we see in our text, a separation performed, and it is performed by the king. This is not something he will figure out then. He already knows them that are his. He at this time will separate them out, and it will be made known to all who they are. We see the sheep were on the right hand of him, placed there by him, and the goats were on the left hand, put there by him. There are some thoughts that come to mind when thinking about those who are goats. In Leviticus, we read of the scapegoat, Leviticus 16, 21 and 22. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Our Lord was this scapegoat.
Yes, sir.
He was this for a particular group, for his people.
Amen.
He bore their sins in his own body, and he took them as far as the east is from the west. I gather from this in reading our text two things. These who were placed on the left, called goats, did not have this scapegoat in their stead. So they stand as goats on their own. We could also see, especially as we look at this further, that these goats think that they can stand on their own by their own works. They are independent as they do not have a Redeemer. Now, one more point that I have, and I did not mention to begin with, but I want to look at things mentioned by the king that were either done or not done. And this may not be the best way to say this, but I just named this point the work of the sheep and the work of the goats. To those on the right, he says, come. These are those who are blessed of the Father.
Yes.
Those who are in Christ. The Father has placed his right hand on the head of the body, giving his blessing to that one. That one who has complete favor of the Father, 2 Peter 1:17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
This one, we are told in Scripture, is the head of the church. Those that are his sheep, the church of Jesus Christ, blessed through their head, which is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yes.
Him being the head and we being the body, that is his church, his sheep, his people being the body of Christ and him being the head, we are one with him. We are united to Jesus Christ as one, and we have always been united to him in the mind of God. Remember his prayer to the Father, Joe. John 17, 21 and 22 we read, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Amen.
What does he tell those who are his, those on his right hand? Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for them, for you. The word there for kingdom means reign or to rule. So what do we inherit? To reign and rule with Jesus Christ. Now, in talking about this preparation, we know Christ told his people in John 14, 2, we read, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
This says here, prepared for you from the foundation of the world, here in Matthew. Both are true, of course, But the preparation being spoken of here, which is also the way the blessing comes, is from that one who was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Revelation 13:8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world."
Amen.
It is what this one has done. This one, by the way, is the King. The one speaking, but it is who this one is and what he has done that has brought blessing on them, the ones on his right hand, the sheep. Who was around at the foundation of the world? One. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What is it, though, that the King tells them? He tells those sheep that they fed him when he was hungry, gave him drink when he was thirsty, took him in when he was a stranger, clothed him when he was naked, visited him in sickness, and visited him in prison. But what is the thought of those who are his? What do they tell him? When did we do this, Lord? I want to be clear here. What these have done are because they are blessed. They did not do these things to get blessed.
Right. That's it.
Because remember, the blessing was done from the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
And it was done by another in order that we might have this blessing. Those who are righteous is what it says here. They are not righteous of their own, but they are righteous because this was prepared for them. These answer him and say, "When did we do these things, Lord?" He answers them in verse 40. "And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me."
Amen.
Who is it that is the least of the brethren? All of them. This is more apparent in Young's literal translation. So, verse 40 in Young's literal translation. Let me read it. "And the King answering shall say to them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as ye did it to one of these my brethren, the least, to me ye did it."
Yeah.
All of his brethren were at one time and are still hungry and thirsty. Matthew 5:6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How is it that these will be filled? John 6:35 we read, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Those that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness will be filled when he causes them to come to him and believe him. They do this through the gospel. God sends them someone with the gospel, and in hearing the gospel through faith, they believe and are filled. So how did they do this to the least of the brethren? They preached the gospel to them. Christ told us in John 6:53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." How do they do this? The gospel. They take in his flesh, that is, who he is, and that is God manifest in the flesh, and they drink up his blood, which is that which they hear in the gospel of how he shed his blood for their sins. Those who are honest to us by telling us the record God gave of his Son is what all of his, who are the least, they need to be filled and clothed and healed, taken in the cleft of the rock and set free from the bondage of the law of God. Just as Joe has said before, those who did this to Christ are those who proclaim, "All flesh is grass, and behold your God." If you are not any of these things, that is, hungry, thirsty, naked, and in bondage, and so on, then none of this will be sweet to you. If you have no need, then you will not care. No one will ever be saved unless they are first lost. No one will ever be healed unless they are sick. Proverbs 27:7 says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb." But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Those who are not hungry, and it says here in Proverbs, those who are full. No matter how sweet the sound of what you tell them is, they will loathe it. The word loathe there in Proverbs doesn't mean like we would think about loathing something, you know, like, you know, you gag when something you eat you don't like, you know, you gag at it. The word there for loathe means to trample. There are some who will stomp it out if they could because they hate it. You tell them that salvation is already accomplished and there is nothing for you to do, they will loathe it. They will trample it under their feet. But to those who are hungry, you tell them that man is a worm, yea, man is nothing, even less than nothing. It is sweetness to their ears, even though it be bitter.
Yeah.
Not that being less than nothing is sweet, but because knowing they are nothing and that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and sinners are nothing before Him, and they must bow down to Him at His feet and worship Him. What a sweet sound indeed. He is the King. Those who are righteous because of the King. He prepared this for them. But not all are righteous. There are some who will hear Him say, "You have not done these things to me." But what is their attitude about it? Verse 44. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? What do you mean we did not do this unto you?" Verse 45. Then shall He answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." When they could have spoke to these about that one, in who He is and what He has done, and in doing so feeding and clothing them, visiting them and setting them free from bondage. All they did was tell them, "God has done all He can do, now it's up to you." Or, "God has no hands but your hands. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. This is of no value to any soul that has sinned against God. The Scripture tells me that all have sinned, although a lot of people do not know they are. His sheep have been made to know that if there is not another sinner in the world, they are one." The King has prepared the foundation of from the foundation of the world for them that love Him. He did this as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He will return to gather His people, His elect to Himself, them being blessed of the Father, Him being the head of His church. He tells them that they fed Him when He was hungry, gave Him drink when He was thirsty, took Him in when He was a stranger, clothed Him when He was naked, visited Him in sickness, and visited Him in prison. These, those on the right hand, those sheep who have been blessed, those who all remain hungry and thirsty, yet they are filled by His body and His blood. Those who are naked, yet clothed with the robe of righteousness. Those who are strangers, yet as He has brought them into the fold. Those who are blind, deaf, dumb, lame, and unclean, yet He has healed them. Those who are under the bondage of this flesh, unable to keep His commandments, yet He has come and freed them from the curse of the law, being made a curse and sin for them. Because these have been blessed, they will do these things to others who are all these things by His power and grace. These He will place on His right hand. Those who never know these things will not do to those who are this way because they never know Him. These will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, not righteous in and of themselves, but by the blood of the King, that one slain from the foundation of the world, these will go into eternal life with Him, their King. Not what my hands have done, but what you have done is my plea.
Yes, sir.
We boast in what He has done. It was, is, and ever shall be what He has done. that will cause me to inherit the kingdom prepared for me. Tell me about him. Amen. Our sovereign, most holy, righteous God, thank you for all things you do. Dear Lord, continue to remind us and let us see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the King, dear Lord. May it be that we long for that day that we are to be with you, dear Lord. We have some among us, dear Lord, that have sicknesses, have ailments, dear Lord, both spiritual and physical, dear Lord. Heal us, dear Lord. Only you can do it. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.